You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Natalie Golay, in for Mike Green. Welcome to another episode of JX Arts. Each month, we take a look at what's happening in music and the arts through the eyes and ears of our resident guides here at JPR. Vanessa Finney is the arts reporter at JPR. She's also host of the podcast My Better Half and The Creative Way. Hi, Vanessa.
Good morning.
And Dave Jackson curates the music on JPR's Rhythm and News Service. He manages the music staff and also hosts Open Air. Hi, Dave.
Good morning.
Okay, Dave, let's get started with you. Any new albums you'd like to highlight this month?
Yeah, here's one that dates back to me being a kid. I was an Ozzy Osbourne and Black Sabbath fan growing up, and we just we didn't have access to a lot of it. I try to make excuses about it now. It's really, I was just a kid. But I like Black Sabbath, and it's one of the metal bands from back then that I look back on and go, yeah, they had something going on. Most of what I listened to back then, I'm a little embarrassed about. So what came across my desk recently was an album called Jazz Sabbath Live. And and so that caught my attention. It's like, oh, yeah, they're playing Black Sabbath in jazz. I got to see what this is about. So I put it on, and initially I was like, this doesn't sound much like Black Sabbath. And I listened a little more and go, but it does sound like really good piano jazz. And so I started listening more. It's like, yeah, this is a solid piano jazz album. And it's led by Adam Wakeman, a pianist, and he's the son of Rick Wakeman of the band Yes, who is really an adored keyboardist from the prog rock era. And so he comes by some talent naturally in that. And he also toured with Ozzy Osbourne and Black Sabbath towards the end of their career. So he's an established musician. And they started Jazz Sabbath. I'll give you their backstory first and then the real story. The backstory says they were a jazz band from the late 60s in England. They were just about ready to release an album. And then the masters were destroyed in a warehouse fire, thought to be set by the label owner for insurance. And by the time they went to re-record, this metal band from Birmingham, England, had stolen all their songs and turned them into metal tunes. That's not a real story, but it's a great backstory. I really like that. The real story is in 2020, after a show, I think they were in a bar or something, and there was a piano, and somebody sort of dared Adam Wakeman to try to play Black Sabbath in jazz. And 2 hours later, they decided they were going to make a band out of it. So it's pretty good piano jazz, and it has. I'm using this clip because most of the rest of it, most people wouldn't recognize as Black Sabbath, but this particular hook is probably the second thing every guitar player of my age learned after Smoke on the Water. So this is Jazz Sabbath's version of Iron Man, and I put in the intro and then kind of the jam sort of at the end of it. So. That's the intro, and coming up here is towards the end of the song. Should be. It's pretty groovy, even if you're not a Black Sabbath fan. If you like jazz, it's a good one. We've been playing it a little bit on Open Air. So.
Tasty jazz chords.
Yeah, there really is. Kind of cool. Boyd Golden has a new album out. He's a Canadian singer-songwriter. His real name is Liam Duncan. He chose Boyd Golden because his mother's maiden name was Golden, and he was her son, therefore a Boyd Golden. And it's his third full-length album as the Boyd Golden character. And this was an incarnation. He was originally considered the High, and High could have any connotation of that word, the high priest of the Church of Better Days, is sort of a pot-inspired, unofficial good vibes club. And so the new album, he's still preaching to the working class about making things work and keeping a positive attitude. And it's a good blend of Americana, a little psychedelic rock involved in that. It's just a good, solid album. And then one more guy, I wrote about him. There's a piece on our website under JPR Music about Tyler Ballgame, and then I wrote a longer piece about him that's going to be in the journal coming out in March. He was born as Tyler Perry in Rhode Island, so you could see if he was going to perform, he might want to change his name. He changed his name to Tyler Ballgame. He was inspired by the baseball legend Ted Williams, who was Teddy Ballgame. He studied songwriting in Berklee School of Music, dropped out. He had depression, and he moved into his mom's basement, worked for his dad, and kind of suffered from depression for about 10 years. And he got treatment and started to feel better, and he chose the name Tyler Ballgame because it was kind of self-deprecating, because it was somebody he really wasn't. He was, you know, kind of, he considered himself being kind of flaky and not really holding up stuff. But he got treatment. He moved to L.A. His voice has been compared to Roy Orbison. He used to play a version of Cryin' at open mics. So I'd like to, he's opening for St. Paul and the Broken Bones at the end of March, and we'll play that clip. He really sounds like Roy Orbison here.
If the whole original songwriter thing doesn't pan out, he could have a whole career as an impressionist.
He could, yeah, really, because he does have that Roy Orbison thing going on.
Yeah, a little bit of Celtic stuff in there. Yeah, a little bit of, very, very.
Yeah, he's interesting. And, he's compared a lot to a lot of classic rock folks, and another just good album to listen to.
And if you're just joining us, you're listening to JX Arts on the Jefferson Exchange. Our resident guests are JPR Arts reporter Vanessa Finney and Dave Jackson, host of Open Air. Vanessa, what's happening in your world?
Well, as you know, on Valentine's Day, Ida Giron and Bruce Campbell brought movie-going back to the Holly Theater with their new movie, Ernie and Emma. I went with you, and I think we agree it was the perfect premiere place for that to premiere, because it's 1,000-seat theater, and it was sold out. We were lucky to get in.
We were lucky.
Huge fans.
No, I could not get tickets. I went to go get tickets, and they were sold out.
Yeah, no, we just squeaked in. And the crowd was rowdy. You know, they love him. They love the couple. They both came out, the husband and wife team, you know, kind of warm up the crowd before they played the movie. It was co-produced by them. They're clearly adored as longtime Rogue Valley residents, on top of all the fans that Bruce has had over his decades of working in genre films, television, voice acting. The basic premise, so Bruce wrote, directed, and starred in it. And basically he is a Ernie Tyler, a small-town pear salesman who's also a local celebrity. You know, he does ads, appears at pear festivals, that kind of thing. And Rogue Valley has become Pear Valley. And his wife has just died in 2024 at age 59. So she leaves for him a series of letters directing him. You know, it's sort of a scavenger hunt, you know, mission oriented, to all these places to spread her ashes. I think there are, you know, 20, 22. And along the way, he's resolving issues too. So on the face of it, it's an adventure. It's a final adventure they share together, but he's
learning too.
Yeah, as he says, it's helping him become a more complete human being. And we have a little clip from the trailer. This is from Ernie and Emma. And the voiceover you hear is his wife from The Great Beyond.
My final wish is for you to spread my ashes. The letters will guide you to each place. Basically, I want one last hurrah with you.
You went too soon.
This might be a good way to finally spend some quality time together. Whoa! And maybe even resolve a few issues along the way.
You know, it's funny. Emma made me promise her that I wouldn't punch you in the face.
What's funny about that?
She's dead. She'll never know.
Where we met. Don't take this wrong, but I never thought you were the type of guy to hit a home run, let alone a grand slam home run to win the game. For what it's worth, I hope you don't try to reenact that.
So, you know, that crack of the bat right there is at a local baseball diamond. I think I recognize the one in Medford. So what's neat about this is that, you know, this is an independent film, so they chose to not only premiere it here in their home region, but it's filled with local sites. You know, the baseball diamond, Applegate River, we see golf clubs, Table Rock, a Bigfoot trap, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
And they renamed places, though, because Pear Valley.
Right, right.
Right, instead of the Applegate.
Yeah. And they even chose local musicians to feature.
Right.
So there's a nightclub scene. And so we see an actual local band, Danielle Kelly, Paul Turnipseed, Jeff Atticott, and Nick Kirby. This is the premiere proceeds benefited the Ashland Independent Film Festival. You know, who better to benefit from a film truly made outside the studio system. So, yeah, the film celebrates Southern Oregon, and it's a great vehicle for Bruce as a star.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely, he fills the screen.
Yes.
With his personality.
Yes.
He really has a great personality.
He is. He's a really good local personality and just a great, great guy. And okay, well, that was also a fun evening that we had when we went to that. Vanessa, you've been catching us up on, or can you catch us up, sorry, on the local art scene outside of that film that we saw together?
Sure. I want to get into the Oregon Cabaret Theater, but before I forget, I just want to do a little forward promote about a live interview I'm doing this Friday because I'm bringing Jeff Riley back and with Paul French, and we're going to be talking about the Southern Oregon repertory singers. I did just have Paul on in December or November, I think, but we couldn't resist, you know, having the package with our old host, Jeff. So this is another one coming up in March. The concert is called Grace Before Sleep. The theme is gratitude, even in the midst of difficult times. Amen. And as always, it's a mix of older and newer works. So we have an original by Jody French, the composer in residence. But we have a song by Jacob Collier, who's been blowing it up for several years now. And How Do You Keep the Music Playing by Michelle Legrand. So it's, which actually, that was my debut song.
Oh, wow.
So that's Friday if you want to tune in for that fun.
Great.
And then as far as Oregon Cabaret Theater, their 2026 season has kicked off. Sherwood, The Adventures of Robin Hood, opened January 23rd, and it'll be playing through the end of March. It's the story that we all know of The Adventures of Robin Hood. It's a hero of the people who takes on the ruthless powers that be, something that always seems to be timely. Those familiar characters like Little John, Friar Tuck, Maid Marian, and we've got a little clip from one of this, and you're going to hear Nick Ferrucci as Robin and Rick Wasserman as Sir Guy.
It has to stop.
And who's going to stop it?
I am, and all the Saxons. You're starved and beaten to make yourselves rich, but I'm warning you. For every Saxon you murder, a Norman will die. For every child who suffers, there will be revenge. Our people deserve to live without fear in a society that protects them.
Yeah, so intense scene there. Yeah, and it's actually rated PG. You know,
oh, really?
Yeah, the cabaret always does this thing where if this were a movie, this is what you can expect in case, you know, kids were going to come. So there are some adult situations and a bit of theatrical violence.
Okay.
So that's going on now, and then that will continue. They have four more shows in this season, so audiences can look forward to Miss Marple, Good Old Detective Story, Chicago, a terrific musical, Dracula, and then finally Anne of Green Gables.
Oh, my.
At the Oregon Cabaret.
Wow. Well, it looks like we're all set. Now, before we go to break, as a reminder to our listeners, if you want to contribute to this conversation, send an email to jx@jeffnet.org. Tell us what you're enjoying in music and the arts, regional arts works, events, performances. Share what's happening in your neck of the woods, and we'll try and get it on the air next time. Make sure to put the subject line JX Arts and send it to jx@jeffnet.org. So now we have to take a short break. We'll return with more music and the arts with Dave Jackson and Vanessa Finney. You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Natalie Golay, in for Mike Green. Welcome back to JX Arts. I can say that. I'm joined by my two guests, Vanessa Finney, the arts reporter at JPR and host of the podcast My Better Half and The Creative Way, and Dave Jackson, who curates music on JPR's Rhythm and News service. He's also the host of Open Air. Dave, I understand that JPR will be participating in Rural Voices Day on March 4, and does Rhythm, do you guys have anything special?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, Rural Voices Day on March 4th. It's presented by the Alliance for Rural Public Media and launched in light of the budget cuts from last year and to promote the importance of public radio to rural communities like our region here. So on March 4th, what we're going to be doing on the Rhythm and News service on Open Air is just highlighting contributions by local musicians. We have a pretty rich field of musicians throughout the region, and we're going to, you know, focus on some of the old standards like Broadway Phil and the Shouters and the Rogue Suspects and people like Alice DiMaselli and the Brothers Reed. So we'll be playing music by them. And then some kind of newcomers, folks like Nisha. She's a singer-songwriter out of Medford. Mm. Sometimes her music is a little Taylor Swift-y, but she's a little more than that sometimes. So it's she's a promising new musician, Shreya Summers, who has been working with a lot of musicians around town, Adam Gabriel and the Cavaliers, who we've had in JPR live sessions, the Rosalies, who are an all-female bluegrass band that when I look at bluegrass, sometimes I get a little tired of it because it all sounds the same, and the Rosalies are kind of a cut above that. To me, they stand out a little bit.
Nice.
So I appreciate them a lot. And we even will be focusing on some staff here at JPR who have made music. well, start with this one clip. This is Danielle Kelly on a tune produced by Jared Alexander Masters, who we just did a live session with last week that you can find at ijpr.org. And now this is Danielle Kelly with a tune called Tricks. Got almost a Prince vibe going on in that one. I appreciate that. And then you all may know my co-guest here, Vanessa Finney. She works with Mark Hammersley.
Who?
And I don't know. I've heard of her.
Never
I'm not
heard
sure
of her.
Who
Never
she
heard
is.
Of her.
Right. And they ended up as sort of honorable mention in the what is that? The sneak preview in Ashland, is it the as a best local jazz band. So here's a clip from Mark Hammersley. It is a Vanessa Finney song with her on vocals.
If you played nice, you'd break and let me merge into your lane. Should I take the train? We'll be here all year. Trapped like mice in mazes lined with parking lots and malls. Drivers taking calls. How did we get here? But oh, that's just the way it goes. When we ride alone back and forth at a whim.
Vanessa Finney, Mark Hammersley there. Rat Race is the tune. Do you want to tell us a little about
that? I feel like I kind of have to. Yeah. That's normally not what you sing about in a jazz song.
Right. Well, so, I don't know. Do you know the way to San Jose, L.A.'s?
That's true. So I wrote that song many years ago, I had just moved from a small mountain town in Southern California, Big Bear. That's where I lived for about 20 years. And I wanted to get back to Santa Monica, where I had gone to school. And after being in such a laid-back mountain town where I could ride my bike along the lakeshore to work, I was thrown into this quite hectic traffic situation. You know, LA is legendary. And immediately, truly, almost got run over as a pedestrian my first week there.
Wow.
And so I was like, what a rat race. And so I just, you know, started writing about gridlock and all those frustrations, oblivious pedestrians. And hats off to Mark. So I wrote the melody and the lyrics, but he arranged it. And he did the 7-string guitar, upright bass. He programmed some drums and flute in there and had the idea to go into between swing and samba. So It was a fun arrangement.
Yeah, it is a good little tune there. And yeah, congratulations on being listed in the best of jazz bands.
Thank you. It's nice to have that nod.
Yeah. Yeah. And there are some other folks. I don't know if I recognize a lot of these other folks. I know the Southern Oregon University Jazz Band was on there as well. And Paul Schmeling Quartet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they play at Martino's. Downtown, a standing Monday night gig, if I remember it right.
And then the Adam Harris Quartet that has a regular Wednesday night gig at Orion's Pub. So,
Wow. Well, let me just remind our listeners that you're listening to JX Arts on the Jefferson Exchange. Our resident guides are JPR Arts reporter Vanessa Finney and Dave Jackson, JPR's music curator and host of Open Air.
Open Air.
I can get that.
I say it wrong all the time.
Okay, well, then I don't feel so bad. And if you'd like to contribute to this conversation, tell us about what you're enjoying. Send an email to jx@jeffnet.org, and we'll try to get it on the air in our next episode, basically next month.
Right.
And be sure to put JX Arts in the subject line, please.
And I'd like to just say a couple of things on the Rural Voices note, because, you know, here internally at JPR, we're kind of collecting past podcasts and things to sort of illustrate how important it is, public broadcasting shining lights on these rural artists. And so a couple of ones that I singled out were, I did this interview maybe a couple of years ago with a guitarist named Corey Murphy from Klamath Falls. And he works with music from and about the Irish diaspora into Oregon, southern, central, eastern Oregon. So that's an important voice that we can bring to light. And another time I went to Sisters, Oregon. They have this robust competitive weightlifting community, and I drove up there and went to a competition just for that flavor. So, you know, those are just a couple of examples of the rural voices that we can, you know, share this platform with.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. So in terms of what's happening now in our region, is there anything else our listeners should have on their radar, Vanessa?
I will say one thing I wanted to mention just was to put the Schneider Museum of Art on people's radar. Mm-hmm. We just wrapped up one exhibition, the Winter 2026, just ended Valentine's Day. It was the SOU faculty exhibition with the theme of the pursuit of happiness. And the next one is opening March 12th. This is their spring-summer exhibition, and that'll be called American Graphic, New Figuration in the West, 1970s to the 90s.
Mm. And then the Independent Film Festival.
That's right. We mentioned earlier that they were receiving the proceeds from the premiere of Ernie and Emma. No protests. Don't protest.
Not right now.
And one thing that they have coming up is a local lens spotlight. It's one night only at the Varsity Theater on February 21st. It's from 7 to 9 p.m. if you're interested in getting tickets. And they probably will sell out as usual. So you can go to ashlandfilm.org. And basically all the films have local ties, whether that be location, cast and crew, producers and directors, and just to single out three highlights, we'll be seeing part of that block. I think it's maybe 12 films, something like that. Shorts, you know, 8 to 12 minutes. One is called An Extraordinary Year by Ashland director Gary Lundgren, who has also worked as a film mentor here at Southern Oregon University. And it also spotlights local entities. So there's a film called Shining a Light on Ashland Children's Theater. And that director is Kristen Williams. And another one is Inspired Art, Seasons at Vesper Meadow. And that's about this hands-on education program in Ashland. And the directors for that are Megan Carroll and Sarah F. Burns. So, again, that's coming up February 21st at the Varsity, the AIFF Local Lens Spotlight.
Oh, well, a lot to go to look forward to.
Yeah.
A lot of local local and rural voices, basically.
Certainly, And they do this. They do wonderful year-round programming. So it's not just the festival, the yearly festival.
Okay, that's great. And Dave, we have somebody special coming.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we weren't able to get her in our studio. But Suzanne Vega is touring on the Flying with Angels tour. She's performing tomorrow night at the Cascade Theater in Reading, and then on Friday night at the Holly Theater in Medford. And she just put out an album last year called Flying with Angels. She's touring as a trio with her guitarist. His name is Jerry Leonard. He played with David Bowie for a long time as well, and cellist Stephanie Winters. So that should be an interesting way to hear Suzanne Vega tunes. And do we have time for a clip?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Yeah, this is a clip of tune Love Thief that's on the new album, Flies with Angels. Kind of groove on that. And so, yeah, performing tomorrow night in Reading, and you can find tickets at cascadetheater.org, and Friday at the Holly, hollytheater.org, for tickets and information
here
on that show. Yeah, in Medford. Yeah.
I love that lyric, love is a bright white light.
Yeah, there's a lot of kind of positivity I see in music going on right now, that a lot of people are really trying to focus on the positive. And I just interviewed Steve Poltz recently, and that's just his whole thing. No matter how bad things get, just look at it with a bright light and be happy
about
it.
It's kind of different from her first. I mean, I remember when she came out with My Name is Luca and all these other songs that were very.
She still gets into the darker stuff too, but that's sort of the lighter side of what she's doing.
Yeah, people need a little bit of light.
They do. That's
right
true.
Now. And there's also something else at the Holly Theater, I think, that's coming up. Is that right?
Mavis Staples will be there on the 12th. Yeah, that's Mavis Staples. I don't know what to say about her.
Yeah.
She's just amazing. She's an American treasure.
Yeah.
And then G Love and Special Sauce will actually be there on the 5th. And G Love is he sort of invented what he calls the hip hop blues. He's out of Philadelphia, and about 20 years ago he released an album called Lemonade, and they're touring on the 20th anniversary of Lemonade with his trio. Plays kind of funky blues, hip hop, rock and roll, kind of a fun groove. His shows are pretty entertaining. He's energetic and has a good time with them, and the groove is great. So.
Well, is there anything we've missed that we need to talk about?
I do recommend checking out the Steve Poltz JPR live session we did a couple of weeks ago. We sent it out in our newsletter. It's at ijpr.org, wherever you get your podcasts. He is he's really a funny guy to interview. He just right off the, if I may say, I introduce all of our shows, and I mention we're at the Steve Nelson Performance Studio on the campus guest of Jefferson Public Radio, and he said, I need to stop you because I have renamed this building the Steve Poltz Steve Nelson Performance Space on JPR. He said, and I think you should treat your guests with a little more respect than that. And that's where it goes.
Yeah. And as someone who was a fly in the wall for that live session, I know that what he said after that is that he was intending to buy Greenland.
Yeah. And he's really stressed out about it.
But did he put his name on the building yet?
He was really funny.
He really is. And just positive vibes all around. So.
Well, as you can tell, there's a lot happening around our region, but that's all the time we have. Thank you both. My guests were JPR arts reporter Vanessa Finney and Dave Jackson's JPR music curator on the Rhythm and News Service.